And good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mercy, right? Have y'all heard that song? Have y'all heard that one? That's a good song. Jason Crabb, can't stand guys like him. Just sing like that. That just makes a fella sick, doesn't it? Yeah. But good morning, everybody. It is day 19. It is Friday again. How in the world did we make it to Friday again? I'm not exactly sure. I guess we started on Monday and we just kept going. But we are here. We've made it through to, the weekend is just around the corner. And hopefully maybe you've got some big plans. Maybe you've got something going on. Maybe you got a family gathering. I don't know what you've got going on. But we are glad that you're with us this morning. Do me a favor. I know all of you are, when you hop on, you say good morning. If you could let me know yesterday at the end of the episode, I was informed last night that right at the end, there was nothing that we really did here that changed, but all of a sudden, for some reason, the audio sounded different. It sounded muffled. It sounded distorted, maybe, but it was definitely compromised in some fashion. So if you could do me a favor and just let me know if this morning, if everything is sounding right. I mean, I hear what I hear in my ears, but I'm only hearing what's coming through the console over here. I don't hear what's actually being sent into or what you're hearing on your side of the live stream. So just let me know in the comments. Just drop it there in the comments if the audio is okay. I am in the process of ordering some new equipment, and hopefully we'll get that in here soon and be able to increase our quality. Thanks, Mom. Thank you. So good morning, everybody. Mary Sue, Margaret, Sister Jay, glad y'all are here. I wonder if that's Brother Jay, though. It's probably both of you. But anyway, does Brother Jackson have Facebook? I don't think he does. I think we need to get Brother Jackson an Instagram account. That's what I think. And he needs to post pictures of his garden. That's what I think. I think Brother Jackson could be Insta-famous with his garden. Brother Jackson's texting me, telling me it sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate it, Brother Jay. Thank you so much. You know what? I have thoroughly enjoyed. It's a little uncomfortable, if I'm, a little bit honest about it, sitting here. Obviously, y'all have gotten used to this scenery. No, he doesn't have one. I think we should set him up a Instagram account, Sister Jay. I just think we should do that and see how that goes. But y'all have gotten used to the scenery here behind me. This is Aiden's bedroom. How about that? I've converted my son's bedroom into our studio. And when I work from home, I'm sitting at my desk that I use when I work from home during the day. But all of that being said, that's what happens when you run off to college, bud. Dad converts your bedroom into his work office, his studio, his Facebook Live, his podcasting layer, if you will. But I've enjoyed the connection. I've enjoyed the teaching. I hope you've enjoyed the content as much as I've enjoyed delivering it. But while I go through this process every morning, I go through the same process every day. I come in, I sit down, I get my book, I read through the notes and the comments, and I look at the highlighted portions, I write in the book, I'm preparing my mind, I'm preparing my heart. I spend a few moments just, in silence, saying, God, what do you want me to, how would you like me to approach this subject today? Just preparing my mind. And then once I get that done, then I open up my laptop. I log into my plant, all of my platforms that I use for this, and I set everything up. I go through the same steps every morning, and I know that if I start setting things up at, if I open my laptop at 7:55, I know that I can be on the air at, I mean, at 6:55, I can be on the air at 7 o'clock sharp. But if I look up and realize that I'm running a little bit behind, there's a little bit of panic in me. Oh, I have to get it done, right? But my point in all of this is that if I want to be successful in fulfilling what I said that I was going to do, when I told you yesterday that we'll be right back here tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock for day 19 of 21 Days of Growth. Until then, be humble, be kind. God bless you, right? From that point on, I have set an expectation that at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be here. If I have given you that promise that I'm going to do what I said I was, and then I have to follow through with what I said I was going to do, otherwise, you would lose trust in me, correct? That would be a fair assumption. In like fashion, I believe that we have been given a promise by God when he said in John 14, 26, he says, but the Holy Ghost is going to be your comforter. God's going to send the Holy Ghost. He said in John 14, 26, he will send the Holy Ghost in my name, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. So he gave us a promise. He gave us a promise in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I taught on this a little bit last night at Bible study. So you're getting a little bit of residual from, from last night. Acts 1:8, he says, and you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So I think we would be, we would benefit from not just being recipients of the Holy Ghost, but being active participants in pursuing His Spirit. So today I want to talk to us about that. I want to talk to us about the forgotten weapon. I want to talk to us about what is this weapon that oftentimes gets just maybe not disregarded, but just pushed to the back a little bit. I remember the reference Jason Crabb a minute ago. There's a couple years ago, he released an album and it had some old songs on it. And he had a song on there that I can remember Pastor Ramsey from Wynn, Arkansas, singing that I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Anybody besides me remember that song? I just like old songs. Maybe I wish that I could sing like I used to sing. I really do. But all the years of preaching and teaching and singing, my voice just doesn't have the strength and the length that it once had. But there is a lot of truth in those old songs, and I love singing them, and I love those lyrics to those old songs. But there's a lot of truth in that particular song that I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Whether we like it or not, the day that we decided to follow the Lord, we entered into a spiritual battle. Whether we like it or not, we are involved in a season of war for the rest of, not even a season of war, a lifetime of war, maybe we could say. But Paul closes his letter out to the Ephesians by telling them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he commands them to then what? Put on the whole armor of God. He speaks to them very candidly. He says, if you're going to make it, you're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. He tells them to put on the belt of truth. He tells us to make sure that we are wearing the breastplate of righteousness, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, shoes of the gospel. He tells us that there is a shield of faith, that we have to have faith as our shield, and then the helmet of salvation, and then lastly, the sword of the Spirit. And I've taught it, I've heard it taught, I've heard it preached every 7 weeks from Sunday, that everything is a defensive portion except for the sword of the Spirit. And that's true. But in all of Paul's commissioning, in all of his descriptions of these pieces of armor and battle regalia, we typically read that and we're like, okay, there it is. That's all of it. But there is a seventh or forgotten weapon when it comes to our spiritual warfare. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll read it to you. 6 and 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is so maybe inconclusive to some, maybe even controversial to others. But I believe that this is a snapshot of Paul saying, you have all of these other pieces. You have the belt of truth. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the shoes of gospel. You have the shield of the faith. You have the helmet of salvation. And you have the sword of the Spirit, but do you have a praying spirit? Have you prayed in the Spirit? Now, to just kind of connect last night for those that weren't at Calvary Tabernacle Bible Study to this morning's devotion, it's not enough just to have been a recipient of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not a one-time deal. There's not a lifetime warranty on it. He that is, you know, that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. That believeth, that ETH means continued. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, continued. The writer of Hebrews would say, pursue peace with all men and holiness, for without which no man will see God. Pursue, to chase after, to continue. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Seeking righteousness, pursuing holiness, praying in the Spirit. These are all indicators that there is this portion, this continuation, if you will, that is incumbent upon you and I to maintain. And so Paul telling the church in Ephesus, he says, look, you may have all of these spiritual things. You may have the belt of truth. You may have the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the shield of faith. You've got the sword of the Spirit. You've got the helmet of salvation. You've got all of these things. But I would admonish you that you pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, I think that there is a level of praying, yes, and Paul talks about it in Corinthians. I mean, we're going to get to that maybe here in a minute. But I think that we have a misunderstanding of what praying in the Spirit very well may be. Praying in the Spirit is not just about feeling goosebumps. Praying in the Spirit is not just going, I felt the Holy Ghost with that. That can happen to anybody. But see, when we are praying in the Spirit, What is actually happening is we are operating under the anointing of God Himself. Isaiah said that the Spirit of the Lord God would be upon you. Acts chapter 10 says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. And time after time after time, we read and we see this connection to a spiritually, can I say, successful person. They are connected to this continuum of spiritual anointing, this spiritual pursuit. Mind you, it does not mean that someone is so spirit that they should be so spiritually minded that they are of no earthly good. And we're going to get to that as well, because I think that Paul addresses that quite clearly in his writings to the church in Corinth when he says that, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I'm but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And he would say, I pray with tongues, I pray in the Spirit. And I, matter of fact, he said, I do this more than a lot of you do. But this praying in the Spirit thing, if praying in the Spirit is the forgotten weapon, then we need to understand how it works. Notice a few things about that passage of Scripture in Ephesians. First, prayer is prioritized. We are commanded to pray always with all prayer. That feels a little bit redundant, does it not? To pray always with prayer. Well, what else am I supposed to pray with? Pray always with a guitar. I don't know. What else am I going to pray with, Paul? That's all I've got to pray with are my words, my prayers. But I think that what he's saying is he's like, pray always. Stop. And with all prayer and supplication, let them be done in the Spirit. We don't pray in our own strength when we pray in the Spirit. We're not praying of our own intellect when we pray in the Spirit. We do not pray with our own thoughts and our own understanding. So, first thing we realize is that prayer is prioritized. Second thing we understand is that prayer should be in the Spirit. The third thing that we should recognize is that our prayer is inclusive. Prayer is never meant to be completely a self-centered action. Prayer is inclusive. Notice how many times the word all is in that 18th verse. But praying in the Spirit can be understood as praying in alignment with God's will. Like, I want to be in alignment with God's will, and so therefore I want to pray in the Spirit. But there's another aspect of praying in the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians. So let's just kind of back up here and let's take a look at what the same writer, Paul writing to Corinth, is the same Paul that's writing to the church of Ephesus. But back up a little bit and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the spiritual gifts. Here he mentions, among other gifts, the gift of speaking in an unknown tongue or in other languages in 12 and 10. Excuse me. But in the very next chapter, chapter 13, Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I am of a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Paul goes on in this chapter, calling forward the various gifts that he mentioned in chapter number 12. And he's talking about that, you know, that you can have all of these things, but if they're not underscored with love, they are of no avail. So not only should the gift of tongues or languages in known and unknown be saturated with his Spirit, but they are also to be saturated with love. So should the gift of prophecy, the gift of giving and service and so forth. But more than just a snapshot, more than just a glimpse into this passage of Scripture, what's actually happening here is Paul is connecting what is coming in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Because I want you to catch this, and this was something that when I read this, it leapt off the page at me and just captivated my spirit and made sense to me in a way that I had never had it make sense to me. Again, I'm going to come back to the three rules of Bible study. The three rules of Bible study are, anybody want to put them in the comments? Context, context, and context. So when I read the first part of 1 Corinthians 12, and I read 1 Corinthians 13, and then I read 1 Corinthians 14. 14 is a rebuttal or a response to the chapters prior to it. Okay? So now then watch what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays by my understanding, but my understanding is, unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the Spirit. Paul urges believers to pursue love and to desire spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1. And in this passage, he makes a direct reference to praying in the Spirit. In other words, the short version of this is as follows. Paul said, there's a lot of spiritual gifts in chapter 12. In chapter 13, he says, though I speak with tongues and I don't have love, then there's a problem. So then when he gets to chapter 14, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. In other words, praying in the Spirit encompasses two things: the pursuit and maybe even the possession of love. And secondly, it is a desire that is within the heart of man. In other words, one will never truly pray in the Spirit lest he first desire it. The Lord is a gentleman. He's never forced himself on anyone. And so he says, pursue love, pursue holiness, seek righteousness, all of these things that he says that we should be pursuing tells me that there's something that is incumbent upon me, and that is what he told the church of Ephesus, praying always with all prayer and supplication and praying in the Spirit. So this morning, I would submit to you and maybe even pose the question, do we really understand the value of praying in the Spirit? Dr. Andrew Newberg, a psychiatrist at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, has a fascinating study on the brain and the belief system through neuroimaging and extensive research. It was discovered that when people who pray in the Spirit were examined, they would examine people of different, various faiths and backgrounds. But when people who prayed in the Spirit were examined, Newberg noticed something extremely unusual. This is so interesting and absolutely amazing to me. The part of the brain that normally makes them feel in control, Newberg says, has been essentially shut down when they begin to pray in the Spirit. In other words, when I begin to pray in the Spirit, I begin to move beyond what I'm able to understand, which gives a little more clarity and credence then to the reference of Scripture that says that our God can give you peace that passes understanding. This coincides with our understanding of praying in the Spirit. It's not us who prays, but the Spirit that prays through us. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we are not praying with understanding. We don't pray in the tongues of men. And known languages, we pray in a heavenly tongue and an unknown language that is given by the Spirit. And so then praying in the Spirit is more than just praying in my humanity. So earlier in the same chapter, Paul said, when a person speaks in tongues, he is not speaking to others, but he's speaking or praying directly to God in 1 Corinthians 14:2. That when we begin to pray in the Spirit, we're not just conversing within the temporal and the physical realm. But as we begin to pray in the Spirit, we begin to communicate to that other world, to that eternal nature, to that God, the creator of all things and the savior of our soul. And we begin to feel his presence as it just kind of encompasses us. That is, in essence, the value of praying in the Spirit. And briefly, just a few more thoughts from 1 Corinthians 14 before we conclude today. Paul encourages people to pursue the Spirit. I want to take and join in chorus with the Apostle Paul this morning and encourage, maybe challenge even. What would it hurt? What would it hurt if we just all said, you know what, Lord, today I'm asking you to give me a moment and help me to pursue your Spirit. Help me to pursue spiritual gifts, more specifically, the gift of tongues. Praying in the Spirit may encompass a lot of different things, but still, the context and practice in 1 Corinthians cannot be overlooked, though. Because praying in the Spirit is actually the Spirit fashioning or prompting our prayers. Prayers that bypass our understanding and are directed to an audience of one, and that's our God himself. Oh, friends, let's not just gloss over that. Realize this morning that when you are praying in the Spirit, you have the attention of Almighty God. So to pray in the Spirit then is to lose touch with our wishes and our will. To pray in the Spirit is then to be immersed in God's will and in God's power. To pray in the Spirit is to speak in an unknown and a heavenly language. And to pray in the Spirit is to pray with fervency and expectancy. But you would ask the question, Brandon, how does one do that? I think it's found in Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when Paul just simply says, pursue. That we would pursue the Spirit of God. So this morning I would issue the challenge, encourage, however you want to say it. But I want you and I to get to a place that we pursue the Spirit and that we don't forsake the forgotten weapon of praying in the Spirit. We've got a lot of other things that we could discuss this morning, but I'm going to draw it to a close here at this point and just say, I want us to pray this morning as we close, that God would maybe place in us a desire for that one word of pursuing his Spirit. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I love you today. I know, God, that your word is true. I know that it is forever settled in heaven. And I'm asking you today, God, you would just birth within each of us a desire to pursue you. That as we do, Lord, we would begin to grow and our spiritual man would begin to be strengthened. That everything that we do, every word that we say, every prayer that we pray, every step that we take, God, would be a perpetual pursuit of your presence and of your spirit. And I thank you for it. I pray, God, that you go with us today and keep your hand upon us as we pursue your spirit in this day that you have made. We ask it in Jesus' name. Guys, I love y'all. I hope y'all have a great day. It's Friday. It's got to be a great day. It's Friday, right? So go out there, seize the day, have a great day, and we will see y'all right back here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for day 20. 2 days left, y'all. We are about to wrap this thing up. But God bless you. I love you. Be humble. Be kind. We love y'all. We'll see you tomorrow.